Welcome to season 3 of Conversations with Coaches. This is a stakeholder-centered coaching production where we believe everyone deserves a stakeholder-centered leader. I'm Brandon Murgard, your host for the show. This season, we go deep into the case study library to discuss the real-life challenges of leaders and the coaches who help them succeed. As an added bonus, we're giving away the latest installment of our case study library, which includes case study summaries, show notes from each episode, and ways you can connect with the guest. Get your copy today at mgscc.net/case-studies. Today, we're diving into the unique world of family-owned businesses with Molly Eliasoff, a coach who masterfully navigates leadership transitions and succession planning. Molly shares her journey with a business at a crucial crossroads, revealing how emotional intelligence and strategic communication can forge a path to success and team unity. Join us as we uncover the keys to seamless generational transitions and sustained growth in family enterprises. Come on in. And let's find out more about the client.
I worked with an awesome client who was one of my favorite people to work with. She was super ambitious, but also really stuck in where she was at in her career. She works for a very high-powered, high-intense industry in finance, and she really wanted to make sure that all of her effort and energy was being put towards her ultimate goal, which was to have a fulfilling career as well as do well by the company.
And, you know, How did they get in touch with you when they realized, hey, we want to bring in a coach to help this leader?
I've been very lucky. I've worked in the finance industry. I'm based in New York City. So I have a network of people who know of me, and I'm able to work with that industry pretty well. It's a good fit. We're all hard workers, so that's always a win.
So had you worked with them before? This was just purely someone within the network that they eventually got in touch with you?
Yeah, the latter. It was a new engagement. But a really winning relationship.
And how did that conversation, you know, what did that sound like? If I'm the client, I pick up the phone, I give you a call, say, Molly, come in, help us out. What did that sound like?
Ambivalence. I'm worried about what is going to come up from the coaching experience. I'm worried about where I'm at with my career. And I really don't want to commit my career to something without feeling like there's alignment internally, both with where I want to ultimately go, but also how I'm serving the organization that I'm in. And so even though I know it'd be really beneficial to do some coaching work, I am concerned about what this is going to kick up to.
Yeah, it sounds typical. So is it the leader that called you to get the coaching? Okay. Yeah, this is already a fairly unique case. Many of the conversations we've had so far have been organizations reaching out on behalf of the leader. So when she called you, did she say, here's what I'm working on, here's what I got to get better at? Or was it sort of like, I know that there's something, I'm not quite sure exactly what, help me out?
I think it was more the latter. I think there was a real understanding that there's been a sense of stagnancy in her career for a while. She felt like people really bought into her. They really appreciated and respected her work and her caliber. And she thought pretty highly of her capability as well. And there was something happening that wasn't leading to advancement, and not necessarily promotion, but just advancement in her, what she brought to the table and her skill set and her executive presence. And so there was an exploration of what is going on here and really what needs to happen next so that I can flourish.
And how did you introduce stakeholder-centered coaching to her for the first time?
A lot of the discussion initially was around insight. How do I think of myself? What am I thinking my performance looks like? And one of the things that was really tricky was trying to get out of that. And so I could be a sounding board as a coach to be able to talk about how else can we look at this? How else can we talk through this? But really, there's such an advantage to having additional stakeholders give in feed forward so that it's not just in the coach's mind, their development, and their progress, nor just from their coach's reflection on how they're doing, but really everyone involved's opinion on how do they flourish more or where are they struggling and needing to flourish more. And it really clicked for her that having a team on board, not only giving her feed forward, but also supporting her and giving her positive insight would make a big difference in her ability to continue with her objectives.
And how did you structure the engagement? What kind of approach did you have? What did that look like? Can you walk us through the general overview?
Sure. So for me, relational building is really important, right? Getting to know someone, making sure that they feel comfortable, making sure they're really clear with themselves what they need from the process. And then obviously getting the stakeholders' feedback in that initial process was also really helpful. I got to do some 360 at the top of it. So I got to really get some insights right away that matched or kind of directly contradicted what she was seeing in herself. So we had a lot of information to really utilize to sculpt, okay, what are the important goals to you? And from there, she was able to really define, okay, this is where I think I really want to focus my energy. We were able to stay general, but specific enough that there would be momentum. And then we were able to keep an eye on that as kind of what helped us track throughout that process.
And, you know, it's not at all uncommon for the 360, the behavioral interviews, to be a little bit uncomfortable at the first time, especially, you know, in situations like this. What was her experience actually receiving that feedback?
She was very nervous, which, like you said, I don't think it's uncommon. You know, I think there was a lot of feelings of, am I going to be able to not only tolerate what they're going to say, but are they going to think about me the way I think about myself? And are they going to like me? Right. I think that's often what it boils down to. Am I going to get good feedback here? And unsurprisingly, she got great feedback. And everyone was like, I believe in you and I want more for you. And this is what I think you could do more. And I think that was super catalytic for her ability to get engaged and stay engaged in the process. So it was really useful, although petrified.
Yeah. So she heard it and was like, oh, great. I've got lots of good feedback. Just a few specific areas. That was a good thing for her.
Totally. And I, you know, I think just like anyone who has, you know, feelings of questioning of themselves, is that feedback really real? Is that really for sure? Do they really mean that? And I think getting that feedback over and over again, I think, again, this speaks to having multiple stakeholders, and the benefit of that was really defining and highlighting that, yes, this is a belief that's universal at the organization, and that helped tremendously.
By chance, Molly, slight side quest here. Have you ever been the recipient of a behavioral interview report?
I have. That is also petrifying.
So I won't dig in too much, but would you say that your experience was similar to the one that she had? You know, a little apprehensive and maybe skeptical of the good and a little too sensitive to the bad by chance?
Potentially, you know, I'm slightly different than her in this way. I'm very, very hard on myself. And so I'm less focused on what positive thing did they say. I go, move on. And let's focus on what I need to grow on. A real coach through and through.
I like it. Yes. It's sad that more people don't see it that way. Like, it's not at all uncommon to say, here's 10 pages, I mean, you know, metaphorically, 10 pages of positives, and then here's two lines of bad, and then the panic of, oh my God, people don't like me. But it's so positive when you've got that one area that everyone's touching on, and you know exactly what you need to get better, and people like you already anyway. It's a very positive situation. Coming back to this leader, what did she ultimately pick to work on as a result of the feedback?
So she wanted to focus on her decisiveness and her executive presence. She wanted to be fully able to grow into her ability to do more and more, show the ability to do that, not only externally, you know, but also internally, really in her team, and then from, you know, other parts of leadership within the organization. The confidence was also really key because she wanted to not only be able to decide things with a lot of clarity, but be able to show up with that decisiveness in the room. So it was a good matching of the two goals. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, out of my own curiosity, would you say that these areas were going to be something that was actively holding her back? Or was this something that if she got better, it would happen to propel her forward?
I think absolutely the latter. And I think, you know, not to jump ahead, but I think that was the result. I think, you know, I think she really had the ability to, once she honed these skills, just like any of us, right? When we really start to grow our sense of confidence, we grow our decisiveness or our executive presence or all of the above, people are able to see our abilities and more, but so are we, right? We can really see how we can show up in new areas we never would have thought of. So owning ourselves more allows us to grow exponentially in the eyes of others and in ourselves. So it's tremendously useful for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Well, kind of, you know, give us an overview of, you know, what was it like being coached by Molly? You know, I know that you were using stakeholder center coaching. For those who may not be familiar, can you just walk us through end to end, you know, what the engagement looks like being coached by you?
Sure, for sure. So the nitty gritty, right, is there's a real check-in in the beginning. We talked about that a little bit. There's some kind of diagnostic or assessment that gives us more information. And then a real heart-to-heart discussion between myself and the coachee around, what do you really want to get? At the end of the day, this has to be your goals. What do you want to get from it? And so then once we have identified what it is we're going to focus on, the journey's fun and it's very unique based on who we're working with. If you can't tell already, and you know this about me already, I'm an extremely direct New Yorker. So I like to be playful and lighthearted, but also really focused and get things done. My clientele have often been ex-athletes. They're in finance, they're in entertainment, they're in very high pressured environments where they need to perform, but they need to be able to be human at the same time. So there's got to be a little joy and there's got to be a ton of focus and execution. So through that journey and ability to hold some feelings with my training in psychotherapy as well, it has been helpful, can really result in someone feeling propelled in all aspects, literally and emotionally and internally. So it's huge. And so by the end, we get the nice feedback from the stakeholders and you get to check in with them throughout the process. And you have clear indicators as you're going through the process. Am I on track? And then by the end, you really get more concrete of how did you perform and how can you keep at this if you want to keep going? So super helpful, super grounding, and feels like it solidifies the process by the end.
Well, you know, if I'm the client and you zoom into my calendar, what's our session cadence and what are we generally doing during our times together?
Great question. So we're trying to meet, if possible, weekly for the first few months. We really want to get that upfront momentum and upfront result. You want to be able to talk through kind of what you're focusing on, see strides, see where you're getting stuck so that we have a game plan for you to move forward. As you start to see that momentum, we just go back. There's no need to be working week to week unless that's necessary based on that situation for most people because they're able to gain the momentum and learn what they can work on and think about in between, as well as the benefit of the stakeholder-centered feed forward throughout, right? So all the stakeholders are giving you feedback. You're thinking about your own feedback throughout the process, and you're able to really utilize that to keep at momentum in between the coaching meetings. From there, we're meeting for different periods of time. Sometimes it's an hour, sometimes it's 30 minutes, and sometimes 15 minutes. It depends on how quickly people really feel a sense of mastery of what they're working on and what they need from me. So then we're able to kind of evolve based on how quickly we can get to the goals. That's always objective. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love the way we draw a straight line from A to B. Just like, let's get there as efficiently as possible. You're not going to get better by hanging out with me as a coach. You're going to get better by talking to your stakeholder.
Totally.
Tools. As you mentioned, you have a very extensive background in psychotherapy. You have quite a few other professional certifications. What kind of tools were you bringing into the mix while you were applying stakeholder-centered coaching through the engagement?
Great question. Again, I'm super pragmatic. So what are you looking for and what do you need? Not only in action, but in mindset. So a lot of the focus can be in mindset if that's what's needed. You know, like I mentioned before, a lot of my clientele are super high performers. And so most of it is not about teaching them the skill. They have that in the bag. It's really about how do we get my mentality to match where I'm going, not where I've been. So a lot of it is letting go of old thoughts and really starting to think about and visualize where am I moving towards? And then how am I aligning my actions to match that? Who are the resources that are helping me? And how am I helping myself get there? It's a lot of the focus.
How about the action plan? Maybe you recall, maybe you don't. Do you remember, you collect feed forward, you dump it into the action plan. What were some of the items that she was working on for confidence, decisiveness, executive presence?
Totally. So around executive presence and confidence and decisiveness was how do I show up more in meetings? How do I lead teams in a different way? How do I look for new opportunities in the organization so that I can really keep showing my executive presence, but also propelling the organization forward, dual service? And also, where am I thinking my career is ultimately going to go? Not only from my opinion, but also getting the feedback and feed forward of stakeholders. Where do they see me? Where does the organization need me? And how do we grow kind of in collaboration around that?
Okay. And what happened? You've worked with this leader for some period of time. Let's start with what you noticed. What were some of the changes that you noticed along the way while working with this client?
I needed to do less. I think that's one of the coolest things about coaching is the ability to step back more and more. You watch someone just kind of unlayer in front of you, like let go of things that used to work that don't work anymore and grow into this exceptional version of themselves. So I got to step back more and watch her really realize her potential and start to visualize new opportunities and then execute on new opportunities to grow into the person she became and is becoming every day. And it's pretty exceptional. She got to really evolve into the self that the organization was hoping for, but so did she.
That's amazing. It's the power of coaching. So this is what you noticed. Tell us a little bit about the mini survey. So, you know, at the end of, for those of you who are unfamiliar with our mini survey, we ask stakeholders, what changes have you seen in this leader's effectiveness? -3 to +3 scale. So it's continuously fresh. You can use this for the rest of your career. What did that actually look like for this leader?
Totally. So she had quite a gain, which was really exciting. And she got a lot of great feed forward in her mini survey. She really got a reflection of what she was seeing, which was she started to step more and more into responsibilities that she was beyond capable of years before and really could keep owning, and then started to get involved in things that she could have never imagined, but really wanted to get involved in. And the organization saw that too. And so there was a lot of observation of increased confidence, increased decisiveness, increased executive presence through and through, and a real desire for her to keep at that so she could evolve further.
Was there any examples that came up of specific behaviors that demonstrated renewed confidence or greater assertiveness, executive presence, anything like that?
Absolutely. There were a ton of, you know, very specific things that they talked about. For her anonymity's sake, I probably won't dive into a ton of it. But, you know, they really saw that she had done something great in a meeting, that she got involved in a new project that was brand new to the organization and brand new to her, and she took it on by storm. There was a fearlessness that came across in her decision making and also in her action and her ability to do things that was outside of the scope of what was normative for her. And it impressed others and blew herself away, which was the coolest part.
Yes. You know, when you when you think about this particular leader, she was already high performing. She was already very excellent at what she did. And she came to you to augment that performance. Do you also work with leaders who have, let's call them more terminal behaviors, or behaviors that are actively holding them back?
Occasionally. Most of my client base, honestly, are, like I said, similar to an ex-athlete. They're constantly thinking about, how do I iterate further? Rarely do they come in and do they go, you know, I've been doing this the whole time and it's just not working and I finally have to do something about it. However, there are plenty of people who I work with who know that they could get better at a skill, but they have kind of coasted with something for a long time, and they're interested in letting go of how they're coasting around that. You know, someone who maybe, let's say, had a more middle management job, is now in a leadership role, but it's still thinking like a middle manager. How do I release that mentality so I actually execute like I am a C-suite executive is a huge important skill.
And what do you notice, just purely from your experience as a coach, what do you see or what do you observe as big differences between these two different types of clients? Those that are very progressive, bringing in a coach to augment what they're doing, and those who say, if I don't fix this, I might be on the chopping block pretty soon.
Yeah, look, I think fear is a huge element in that, right? We want to let go of thinking about how we are set up to fail and instead think about, how can I get more out of this life, out of this career, out of what I want from my identity and my profession? And so being able to let go of that concern and that Achilles heel can be liberating. And then, just like with this case study, really open up opportunities that were almost unimaginable at the beginning.
And, you know, as a coach, one of the best things that we get to experience is I learn more from my clients than they very well may learn from me. We're in a learning profession. It's the joy of what we do. What were your big takeaways working with this particular leader?
Totally. So, you know, I am also a very hardworking individual, always driven, always willing to kind of take a leg up further. And one of the things that I really took away is that it's important not only to step back, like we talked about earlier, but also to really trust that the coachee has a vision for themselves, right? Just because I'm motivated and see possibility doesn't mean that that needs to be the possibility or result. So being able to kind of stay in my lane and really listen is so crucial, knowing that, like, when I needed to give that attaboy, that, like, little leg up, I will be there to help with that. But that's not even the entire time.
Well, you know, we've talked a couple times about this taking a step back. Being such a motivated individual as yourself, what do you do to actually step back? And what type of activities, or what does stepping back look like for you?
Great question. Anything that'll give me a sense of humility, honestly, like that is key always. For me, that is taking a dance class. So you know that I am trained as a professional dancer most of my life. And so going to dance classes is always humbling because no matter how skilled you are, there's always something to work on and it is always hard. And you're always going to kind of make a fool of yourself in order to learn. And so it's a wonderful opportunity to be able to keep growing and pushing yourself, but really be humble. It's the same thing, you know, why I also get coaching and why I invest in learning and not knowing. I think being curious allows us to unlock things we could just never see before.
Well, Molly, I can confirm that every time I've taken a dance class, I have certainly made a fool of myself. So I can certainly, and I have a fraction of the skills that you may have. You know, honestly, I was hoping you were going to say something like stand-up comedy or something, since you're in New York and the talent pool there is so rich. Have you ever done stand-up?
I have no skill for that. I'm funny in my own way, but I have no skill like that. I wish I had.
Next time I'm in New York, Molly, we're going to do stand up together. We'll both crash and burn. Yes, wonderfully. Maybe we can go do it at one of Marshall's favorite spots up there. But you mentioned you have a coach. What does that look like for you?
Yeah, so I have someone, I actually have a few people in my life that I super trust. That I think is really brilliant and has my best interest in mind, but also is not here to give me advice, is really here to hear me and hear where I get stuck. And that's been tremendously helpful because there are different coaches for different purposes. So based on the thing that I'm stuck around, having someone who is aligned with how I communicate, but also is really encouraging and propelling at the same time, helps unlock places that could take months in 20 minutes. And it's a game changer. Mm-hmm.
You know, I've heard coaching explained, I think it was Frank Wagner who explained it to me like this. Coaching largely will shorten the learning curve. Like that's what we do. Would you agree with that assessment?
100%. I mean, I think the ways I've coached people around are topics often that they've said, you know, this is something I've been told my whole life or something I've looked at my whole life. And all of a sudden, in the course of a few months, it has dramatically changed. And I constantly hear, if I only came in sooner, I'm sure you have too. You know, it becomes a big game changer. That learning curve shortening is absolutely the way I see it.
Okay, so you have some coaches yourself. How do the things that you're learning there translate to your practice or even specifically with this individual leader you were working with?
Yeah, it's always really humbling and refreshing to remember, you know, that everyone's got a different approach and you can learn something from everyone's style. As well as there's not one way to do this. So there's not one coach for everyone. There's also not one type of coachee. Everyone's got a unique thing that they're struggling with. And there's always someone out there who's the right fit for you to propel forward. So it's been super helpful to remember that I don't need to be a certain way and not every coachee is the right fit for me. It's just about finding that match and helping stay committed to that work together.
I'd like to ask you specifically, if I am a leader who is working on executive presence, decisiveness, confidence, getting out of my own head, any of these things, what advice would you have for me?
Know yourself and trust that you know yourself. Be able to be really clear with what are your ultimate values, what are your ultimate objectives, and how are you trying to get there, and how are you getting there? Being super clear about slicing this apart can help really simplify where you need to put your time and energy. Is it a lack of clarity? Is it a lack of decisiveness? Is it changing your mindset? Or is it just changing action? Being able to sift through all of this and see what's going on can make a huge difference for your momentum and your time.
How about if I'm an organization and I'm seeing I've got a handful of high potentials, but they definitely have some, let's say, self-limiting beliefs. They're very high performers. But boy, if they just augmented these one or two areas, they're going to take off like a rocket ship. What advice would you have for that head of leadership or head of HR?
Totally. I think figuring out how do you give that feed forward consistently and frequently is super important. How are they digesting that they have all of that capability? Who's telling that information to them? And do they really believe it? And so really figuring out where is there a lack in the communication, either internally or throughout the team, so that that can get further amplified and you can encourage people to really show up as their best selves, really hear that they can show up as their best selves, tremendously important, that positive reinforcement.
How about if I am a coach and I'm working with a leader who is very similar to this individual that you've worked with here? What advice would you have for them to say, follow these one or two points and you're going to be far better off than if you didn't?
If they were to coach the same person? Mm-hmm.
Or if they were to coach someone similar challenges, maybe a similar environment.
Be unafraid to listen. Be unafraid to be able to be in that moment with that person as they are unsure, doubting, chaotic, that it won't stay that way forever. It's going to transfer and transmit into a new direction. As long as you give it time and space to get there and you stay unafraid of challenging the current status to ensure that it keeps moving forward.
I know some coaches just struggle with that, being the challenger and not just the people pleaser. How did you first, did you ever have discomfort in that area, or were you always just a pure straight shooter?
You knew the answer before you asked.
Yes. Guilty. I wanted that on record. I just wanted that on record. Maybe I should say, I know that you've also worked with a number of coaches. You have a large coach network. Have you seen others who started apprehensive about being the challenger? And what are some of the things maybe that they did or experienced that helped them overcome that and really provide that fortification effect that coaches should be providing?
Remember, it's value and it's importance, right? I talk to a lot of people who are uncomfortable with challenging, as we've already said, I'm not. And I really try and give it as a gift. You don't have to say it as an absolute. I never know best. The person I'm working with always knows themselves way better than I'll ever know them. But it's my job to be there with them. And if I see something that they're not, or I'm seeing something that other people do but don't tell them, it's my job to bring it to the room and allow them to think about it, wonder about it, maybe even reject it. That's all okay. It's not about knowing your insight isn't the ultimate truth, but it can be extremely catalytic for that person to be able to hear that from someone they trust and then be able to talk through it together.
Let's talk about your experience as a stakeholder center coach. So you've got these successful engagements under your belt. What advice would you have for other coaches who maybe aren't to the level that you are, but certainly strive to be or aspire to be? What advice could you give to stakeholder center coaches to just be better coaches?
Believe in the process and believe in yourself. I think it took me a little while to understand the value of letting in so many people to the process to a degree. It was a little hard for me. I've done a lot of my work with very highly confidential clientele. And so it was really hard to think about decreasing that anonymity. And the more we did it, the more I got to see in certain environments, it was the perfect fit. They got to hear from more than just me or themselves. They got to hear from the larger bubble that was still a protective sphere and still really selective in who they chose to bring into that, but also really gave them insights that I couldn't have given them, nor could they have gotten from just themselves. So it was extremely beneficial, the process itself. To believe in oneself is a whole other element, to really realize that you as the coach bring forward something that no one else can, because you're uniquely your personality. You think uniquely as yourself, and you're able to ask questions and have insights like nobody else. So you have a tool just in who you are that is so tremendously important to the process. So believe in the process, believe in you, you're good.
Beautiful. Well, Molly, if I am a leader who is considering coaching, if I'm a coach and I want to get in touch with you, if I'm a leader and looking at hiring someone like you as a coach, how could I reach out to you, follow your story, or get in touch?
Totally. My website's a great place. It's just my name, MolliEelias, like Sam, OF, like Frank.com. And you can email me and we can talk and connect from there.
Molly Eliasoff shared invaluable insights into the heart of family-owned business transitions. Through emotional intelligence, strategic communications, and collaborative planning, Molly showcases how businesses can thrive across generations. We hope today's episode inspires family enterprises to approach succession planning with confidence and unity. Remember, all the case studies of this season are available for download at mgscc.net/case-studies. The link can also be found in the episode description. And if you'd like to better understand the foundations of leveraging stakeholders and measuring results in your coaching, then join the free training program, Foundations of Stakeholder-Centered Coaching, where we share the philosophies and frameworks that guarantee improved leadership effectiveness in 12 months or less. You can register for the free course at mgscc.net/foundations-course. Until next time, this has been another episode of Conversations with Coaches by Stakeholder-Centered Coaching, where we believe everyone deserves a stakeholder-centered leader. Thank you for joining the conversation, and stay tuned for more stories of leadership transformation.